All right, let's be real for a second. You've thought about starting a business. Maybe you've even tried dropshipping, and it's probably felt like you're just throwing stuff against the wall to see what sticks, right? You're dropshipping some cheap junk from a sketchy website, praying it gets there, and then you're making 12 cents on the dollar. It's a grind. What if there was a different way? A playbook, a blueprint. What if you could skip all the nonsense and build a real business selling high-ticket stuff? I'm talking products over $1,000 from trusted suppliers. Look, John and I distilled 21 years of e-commerce experience into 6 simple checklists. It's the battle-tested blueprint that over 1,000 students have used to launch in 30 days. No more guessing, no more costly mistakes. We're giving you all 6 checklists, plus a video walkthrough for each one for just $9. That's a no-brainer. Go to dropshipbreakthrough.com/checklist to get the ultimate high-ticket dropshipping checklist bundle and stop doing things the hard way. That's dropshipbreakthrough, spelled thru.com/checklist.
Cosmetic tattooing, that's another massive one. Like, people get like their lips tattooed, like the outlines and eyebrows and all of this sort of stuff. I mean, that's a really big growing sort of category here. And, you know, they would have a lot of the same sort of, you know, like furniture type products as, you know, like other salons as well. So there's a lot of small businesses in this space. And sometimes small businesses are great to market to because they kind of buy like retail customers in terms of how, like, they go onto search engines to find products and all of this sort of thing.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
We recently put out a video of 7 dropshipping niches that you're kind of sleeping on for 2025. You can check that out here. But today, we're going to give you 3 more dropshipping niches that people are sleeping on in 2025. John and I have a combined 20 plus years of continuous high-ticket dropshipping experience. We've seen thousands of niche market ideas at this point, and we've seen what works and what doesn't work. And when him and I stumble on something that we find interesting, we kind of want to share here on the podcast, right? So most gurus that you're going to find online regurgitate terrible ideas like e-bikes or kitchen appliances or outdoor furniture. But we're going to give you the real deal, what actually works right now, but it's not going to work forever. So let's talk about what's working right now, what we stumbled into literally right before this call. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, look, so I think the first thing to say if people haven't seen us or listened to us before is that the right way to start in 2025 is with high ticket drop shipping. Okay, so you know, a lot of what gets talked about online is low ticket dropshipping, you know, dropshipping from places like AliExpress or Temu or CJ dropshipping or any of these sort of things. So that's just the wrong way to go in the first place. So to get that out of the way, when we talk about high ticket dropshipping, we're talking about products that are $1,000 plus, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000. They ship from local suppliers to people in the same company. So you've got the regular shipping times that people are used to. The products are high quality. Returns are very low, customers are happy, and you're building a brand, you're building a valuable asset while you do it. And so in 2025, that's absolutely the best way to do dropshipping. Now, even within high ticket dropshipping though, a lot of people get niche selection wrong. They try and think of the products first. So they're thinking about like, oh, here's a product, I'm going to build my business around just that product or just one type of product, you know? So, you know, like e-bikes, oh, I'm going to have an e-bike store. Now, e-bikes is a terrible idea, and having an e-bike store for anybody who wants to ride an e-bike is also a terrible idea. The better way to do it is to think about, and the way that you can build a stronger business here is to think about the customer first. Like, who's going to be the customer of the business? What is their hobby, their passion, their interest? Could be their business that they're running or looking to start. What is the thing that they do? Think about that first, because that automatically leads you to what are the things that they need to do that, right? And so the things that they need to do that, you're going to find multiple things. You're not going to get stuck on just one product or one product category. You're going to come up with a range of different products, which means you're going to have a range of different suppliers. You'll have more diversity in your business, more ways to make sales, ways to make more money to grow your business, and you're going to end up with a better business that can last for longer, is less open to competition, and so on. And so when we think about finding a niche for a dropshipping business, and you absolutely want to have a niche business, we think about like, who's going to be the customer of the business first? And we want to find those interest group, passion groups, businesses that people have. And so I'm going to start. The first one we want to throw out to you here is one that kind of falls into two of these categories. It's one that follows a passion that a lot of retail customers have out there, but also there are people who run businesses in this space. And the first idea, this is one that's been on my personal niche list almost ever since I started high ticket dropshipping 11 years ago. I've never done it myself, and that is woodworking. So building a site around the woodworking, you know, it can be a hobby for some people or a passion for some people, but there are also businesses that manufacture products from wood. And so there's a whole bunch of pieces of equipment, ancillary products like furniture, storage products, etc., that either people use at their home when they're doing woodworking or businesses have in their place of business if they're making things out of wood. And so things like routing tables, workbenches, lathes, drum sanders, dust extractors, tool sharpening machines, different types of joiners like domino joiners, all of these products can be multiple thousands. So if you look at things like routing tables, we're talking about products that are $3,000, $4,000. You know, lathes can be anywhere, if you go into the commercial things, anywhere up to $20,000 plus. But there's also lower priced options of those. And so the thing I really like about this is not only is it like a, you know, it's a very definable activity that the customer is undertaking. So there's going to be a lot of content you can do for a site like this as well. But there's a lot of different products that the same either business or person owns. So if you sell somebody a workbench, you've got a pretty good chance that down the track you might also sell them a dust extraction machine or, you know, something else that they're going to put within their workshop or some tool storage. You know, there's probably like 10 different high ticket products here that over time I could see selling to the same customer. And that's one of the reasons why we go for these niches that are like built around a business or a hobby or a passion rather than just going after one product category. Because if I say my business is going to be, I'm going to be routingtables.com and that's all I'm going to sell, I'm less likely to have all the other stuff on. And then all I can sell somebody is a routing table. And I'm only going to sell that to them once. Whereas if you have these multiple product categories, which are still within the definition of a niche, you can sell five different things to the same person, which either increases your average order value or increases your rate of repeat business, both of which are two of the main ways that you grow any business. And so that's a good business. Like I say, I've had this on my list for a long time and, you know, I know there are businesses out there doing it, but I actually don't know anybody who's done this really well yet. And so I think there's a good opportunity out there for somebody to come along and really nail this one.
You know how when you name your kids, you think back and like maybe you had this teacher you hated or some kid you hated in school and there's like zero chance you're going to name your kid that name, right? Because it's going to make you think of them. I don't know why, but I had an old neighbor. We lived in town, which makes it even worse, who had a lot of this equipment and it was so fucking annoying. All day long from across the street. So there's zero chance I could ever do this industry. It does look good. Like everything kind of lines up. I would love to see somebody do this well. I'm out on that one. But all right, here's one that I am in on though. I kind of named this like wellness-ish B2B type product. I'm not really sure what to say about it. I've certainly seen businesses around like you, John, but I've never seen anyone kind of attack it in this way, which is there are a lot of different small businesses that do things centered around wellness. So you might think immediately, you know, when you say wellness, which is, you know, kind of the hot thing du jour lately, you know, saunas and cold plunges and UV light and all that stuff. I'm talking more, think of salons, think of mani-pedi places, think of barbers, think of like wellness retreat centers, potentially salons like the more the makeup side of this or the, I don't even know what you call it. This is going to put me way out of touch here. You know, when they shape your eyebrows or pull out your eyebrows or do your eyelashes or all that stuff. I'm not sure what you would call that stuff, but there are chairs. There is physical things that need to exist in these spaces and someone has to sell these things. Right. And so like, I could see you being the place where you are the place that all of these companies can come to. They're all kind of similar, right? And you can carry the products that they would carry. Again, think of barber chairs or whatever those eyelash tables are called, makeup chairs, tables, the desk they use, the front desk, the mani-pedi chairs, the massage. You could have massage chairs in some of these wellness centers. Mm-hmm. Lockers would be another good one. Again, if they have a place almost like a gym where you would have a place for someone to go change, you might have these in these wellness centers, things like that. I actually think you could probably come up with 10 to 20 more products that they have in this place. I'm just not super familiar, other than, you know, your boy does keep his fingernails and his toenails done pretty well. But like, you know, I don't look around too much while I'm in there. I just get my mani-pedi and get out. So I think there's a lot of products here, John, that not that I haven't seen someone sell before. Certainly. I'm not sure I've seen someone attack this angle and be kind of almost like the surplus store for this.
Yeah, definitely. Another one, cosmetic tattooing. That's another massive one. Like, you know, people get like their lips tattooed, like the outlines and eyebrows and all of this sort of stuff. I mean, that's a really big growing sort of category here. And, you know, they would have a lot of the same sort of, you know, like furniture type products as, you know, like other salons as well. So that's another one. Yeah, I think you're right. I think there definitely is an opportunity here. And you know, there's a lot of small businesses in this space. And sometimes small businesses are great to market to because they kind of buy like retail customers in terms of how like they go onto search engines to find products and all of this sort of thing, and they're usually more ready just to buy from a retailer rather than looking for a big wholesale suppliers and things like that. So, and I think there's a lot of, you know, there's some really fun stuff you could do here around doing like starter business packages and things like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're starting like a 3-person salon. Here's 3 chairs and here's, you know, this equipment and here's that equipment. I think there's a lot of interesting stuff you could do with these products. So
there's probably tools on top of that too, right? Like I mostly mentioned physical hard goods.
Yeah.
A lot of these industries, they're also going to be utilizing a lot of tools to do their job. And so I think honestly, you know, I had this idea for our business in my job, and it's almost too big of an idea. Like there's a lot to do here. And so this would be a big undertaking for somebody, but I think if you're willing to put in the time and the effort here, this is a big, big, big market with a lot of opportunity.
All right, let's be real for a second. You've thought about starting a business. Maybe you've even tried dropshipping, and it's probably felt like you're just throwing stuff against the wall to see what sticks, right? You're dropshipping some cheap junk from a sketchy website, praying it gets there, and then you're making 12 cents on the dollar. It's a grind. What if there was a different way? A playbook, a blueprint. What if you could skip all the nonsense and build a real business selling high-ticket stuff? I'm talking products over $1,000 from trusted suppliers. Look, John and I distilled 21 years of e-commerce experience into 6 simple checklists. It's the battle-tested blueprint that over 1,000 students have used to launch in 30 days. No more guessing, no more costly mistakes. We're giving you all 6 checklists plus a video walkthrough for each one for just $9. That's a no-brainer. Go to dropshipbreakthrough.com/checklist to get the ultimate high-ticket dropshipping checklist bundle and stop doing things the hard way. That's dropshipbreakthrough, spelled thru.com/checklist.
Yeah, awesome. All right, number 3 here, the third niche that we're throwing your way that somebody needs to go and jump on and make happen because there's a great opportunity here is commercial printing equipment, I would say, or printers. So once again, we're primarily a B2B niche here, but there's also going to be a lot of kind of like amateur producers that are maybe making things for like Etsy or, you know, other small businesses. Maybe they're doing it from their garage. You know, this is the sort of business that you could run from home. So we're talking here about things like large format UV printers, sublimation printers for, you know, printing sublimated designs onto fabric, cake or food printers, vinyl plotters and cutters, and the list goes on. There is plenty more products here. This is a whole group of, I think, sort of like subcategories here around printing equipment. And when you look at the price points for some of these, it gets pretty staggering, actually. I think we were looking before, and you know, you've got any prices running from the low thousands right into the multiple of 10,000s for some of the larger printing products that are obviously used by businesses that are doing things commercially. And so once again, you know, I think for the people or the businesses that make things, there are just so many products. We've talked about some of them on the podcast before in these sort of episodes. I think our last episode about this but we just found a whole nother group. You know, there is not a lot of competition here at the moment. There's definitely brands. There's definitely suppliers. There's some really attractive price points to sell at in this particular niche. So, I mean, that's one that gets me excited particularly. If I was starting a high ticket dropship, if I was starting at scratch today, I reckon that these are the sort of niches I'd go after, like the kind of B2B, but also a little bit of B2C. I love them. I think they're great.
Stuff it gets people thinking. Like, what isn't seen on this podcast is the hour John and I spent before this sharing each other's screens, landing on random websites who took us down another rabbit hole and found another category. And we're like, have you ever heard of this product? I think too many people, when they are trying to decide, you know, what to sell, right? They settle on a product rather than a person. Yeah. And they only go an inch deep, right? And so can you go, you know, an inch deep and a mile wide? They come up with the products that everybody thinks of. If you could just take some time to like go down the rabbit hole and just spend time searching, you're going to stumble into stuff. Some of the stuff that didn't make the cut for this episode was pretty wild. I didn't know you could sell paraglider motors. I had no idea. We stumbled into like Bitcoin mining equipment, and we were unsure whether some of these people were stocking it or were they not stocking. But I would have never thought of that. And I'm as big of a Bitcoin bobo as you'll get. And so that kind of shocked me. And I just want people to go down a rabbit hole and just spend time on Google and type in a type of product or use ChatGPT. That's what we were doing as well, as having ChatGPT come up with ideas, going to Google and searching what are some of these things, then going down a rabbit hole of finding, you know, whatever, as you said, routingtabledirect.com, and what is this? What else do they sell? What does that look like? Oh, this is a funny rabbit hole. And I think if you do that, you're going to end up in a place that's less crowded, less competition, but also equally passionate people who, you know, need to be served. And that's what we're doing here when you run a business, is you're serving people who have problems. So we've had a lot of people on the show who have done this exact thing. I'd like to shout them out here. So I don't know who comes to mind for you right away, but for me, I think of Holly's episode every time I think of one of these. If you want to see what winning looks like when it comes to high ticket dropshipping, Holly's a great example. I'm sure we'll put all of these in the show notes, and I'm sure our producers will put something up on the screen. But who comes to mind for you, John, when you think of like, what does this look like to actually do this right?
Yeah, definitely. Like people we've had on the podcast. So you can go and listen to Ben's story. Ben did started at scratch, no experience, 17-year career, you know, kind of getting over that work, not really challenged by it anymore. He started at scratch. He went from nothing with no experience, no relevant experience or anything, found a niche, you know, going through the process that we've kind of mentioned here. And he went to 1.65 million in sales in just 12 months. Quit his 17-year career. Now he's doing his high-ticket dropshipping business, you know, full-time and continuing to grow it. You know, we talked about John Grant on this once again. You know, John was working in breweries before he got started. No relevant experience. Didn't know anything about selling online. And, you know, he went from scratch and did, I think, $750,000 in sales in his first 9 months in business. You mentioned Holly. She went from, once again, you know, established career. Wanted to do something else, went from zero to 500,000 in sales in 5 months. The list goes on. You can find plenty more episodes along those lines on the show. So that's what's possible here, right? I mean, if you're somebody who's thinking you want to change things up in life, maybe you're feeling a bit stagnant in your job and you're looking for more. Maybe you're somebody who wants to add a side hustle. You want to make an extra $3,000 a month in money in your pocket. Well, the first step is coming up with a niche idea. Right, this is the first big step, and we've just given you three that you could go out and start doing today. Right, the next step is to learn the high ticket dropshipping process. Like, once you know your niche, what's the next steps? How do you go and get suppliers? You know, how do you get customers to your store? Right, and so we've got a free training on that. If you go to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go, there is a free training there that is going to walk you through the process of starting your own high-ticket dropshipping business, all right? So over the course of an hour or so, you're going to learn the first five steps that you need to take. And you've actually got the first one done for you on this video. There's some niche ideas there, but in that training, I'm going to show you how to find other ideas as well. So if you're ready to make that change, don't sleep on this. Go to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and start taking the first steps today.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.